If you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 1. We're just going to read one verse of scripture here, and then we're just going to follow this theme a little bit here tonight. And it's something that I want to talk about that I feel inspired to share. And you're going to see where the text comes from here real quick, like, especially if you have a red letter edition. John chapter 1 and verse 38. And the title of this is going to be, "What seek ye? What are you looking for? What do you follow? What are you seeking for?" Father, we pray that you'll bless the word tonight. Let it be anointed by you, God. Guide us in the direction that we should go. God, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. So the first disciples were chosen here. So to get a little bit of an understanding of what was going on here, we'll start with verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking up, that would be John the Baptist, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, and that would be John the Baptist, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And so then Jesus went on, and he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And so the thought we want to work on tonight is, what seek ye? What are you looking for? Why are you following Jesus? These two here, they were disciples of John. And then when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," those two disciples heard him speak, and then they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned around to them, and he said, "Wait, what seek ye? Why are you following Christ tonight? What are you looking for in Jesus? What's your purpose and reason for being here tonight? What are you looking for? Why do you follow him tonight?" And these people here answered at that time, and they said unto him that they wanted to know where he dwelt, and he said, "Come and see." And so that could be one of the reasons to seek Jesus. Jesus, where do you dwell? What's it like to follow you? I want to go where you go. I want to see the things that you do. I want to hear the words that you have to say. Jesus, we're going to follow you. We seek you because we want to be close to you. And that should be our heart's desire tonight. When we are seeking Jesus, when we are following Jesus, and we're going to look at some of the scriptures and see different reasons why people follow Jesus. There are people that follow Jesus for the wrong reasons. Why are you here tonight? Why are you following Jesus? Why is it that song that we sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus"? Why have you decided to follow Jesus? Do you want to go and see where he is, to come and see where he dwells? Amen. And we know this, God dwells in the praises of his people. That's where he dwells tonight. But Jesus said to them, "Come and see." Jesus doesn't turn anyone away. And he was the one that gave the question, "What seek ye? What are you going to follow me for? What good's it going to do you to follow me? You must think that there's something in this." He wanted to make sure that they had the right motive and reason for following him. What's the reason you follow Jesus? You might say, "Well, the reason I follow Jesus is because I was raised this way. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a Christian family. And that's just what we do." But that's not good enough. That's not good enough. That isn't going to carry you through when times get rough. You have to have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Some like to follow Jesus just for the benefits that there is in following him. And there are manifold blessings and things that God wants to do with us. There's promises throughout the Word of God to followers of Christ. All the good things are there. But we shouldn't follow Christ just for the blessings that we receive. Just for the good things that we receive. You know, why do you come to the Cane Revival Center? Why do you go to church? There are some people that go to church because they're seeking something. And for some people, and I don't think that I have any of them here, but some people have started going to churches and that because they're looking out for themselves. They're seeking some good program that church has. Perhaps they give food out. Perhaps they give, what do they call them, waivers, or we could give you something and you could go over to the supermarkets and use them. People will join up the churches for that reason. We have a potluck here one Sunday of the month. And if you're only showing up on potluck Sunday, maybe this would be a good time to preach a sermon. What are you here for this morning? What are you seeking for this morning? Are you just here for the bread and fishes? Or are you here seeking Jesus and you want Jesus in your life? And we're just getting getting started here. We're going to look at these more closely in John chapter 6 and verse 26. Amen. We're just going to turn over there because this is all in the book of John. And we're already there. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Some people just want to follow Jesus because of the blessings that he gives out to those that follow him. That's the wrong motive for following him. There are some people in the past, and sometimes now it happens occasionally, there are people that will give offerings and tithes to a church because they have enough teaching under them, and they know if they give into God's work, they believe that they're going to receive a blessing because they do that. And their reason for seeking and following is because they want to receive, they want the blessing of God to be upon their life, but they don't want to do anything themselves where they surrender themselves to God. That's not a good reason to follow God. He said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles." These people here saw the miracles, but because they did eat of the loaves and were filled. And other scripture that we're going to look at here a little bit later, there were some that were following him just because of the things that he could do. Man, who wouldn't follow a man that could turn water into wine? Who wouldn't want to follow a man that could go by and speak to somebody and the blind eyes are open? Who wouldn't want to follow a man that could take 10 lepers and make them whole and their leprosy is all gone? Yeah. Who wouldn't want to follow a man that a funeral procession is going on and he happens to come by and it's a son, and there's this widow there, and it was her only son, and Jesus took that son and he raised him from the dead and gave him back to his mother? Who wouldn't want to follow a man like that? Who wouldn't want to follow a man that could take somebody that was demonic, that was possessed by devils, and cutting themselves and throwing themselves in the fire and foaming at the mouth and in a bad physical condition, and Jesus spoke and those demons came out of that man, and then they went into the swine, they sought permission to do that? And then later on, that man was found clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Who wouldn't want to follow a man like that? If we would have lived back there in that day and they didn't have social media like we had now, but I can guarantee you that the news still spread quickly in the region and round about. Miraculous things that were taking place. And at one point they said, "Never a man spake like this man. We've never seen a man do the things that this man is doing." That word traveled. I probably told this story before. It's incredible how news can travel even without social media. Brooke and Kyle were there, so they maybe can tie the dots together here. I don't know if you made it out to the village of Maguey or not. When you was down there, did you make it out there? It's outside of La Vega. It was the first work we had in the Dominican Republic. And I would go out there on Sunday mornings to have Sunday school and church with the folks out there. And I got out there one Sunday morning, and it's early in the morning when we get out there. And La Vega is about 8 miles away, and there's no communication like this whatsoever. And I get out there, and one of the saints of God told me, "Have you heard the news?" And I go, "What news?" And then she said, "Jesus," because that was the name of the man. We had a pastor whose name was Jesus, being interpreted means Jesus, but they're not looked at as the Jesus in the Bible. That's a common Spanish name, Jesus. And she said, "Jesus's brother was killed last night in La Vega in a nightclub down there." And I'm thinking, wow. And my first thought was, I didn't like the sounds of that. His life was taken. He was stabbed or shot. I can't remember which it was. But the point that I'm making, it was early Sunday morning. That happened Saturday night. There was none of this going on, but the word had traveled. And I think Tim Todd, when he was down there, was out to the village of Maguey, and that news reached out there that quick. So I'm sure in the day of Jesus, all of the things that was going on, man, there was gossipers around. News travels. Good news travels. Bad news travels. That wasn't the kind of news I wanted to hear. But the point being, it traveled. And so people that heard about this Jesus, and then, hey, there was probably some that started to follow Jesus because they heard there was a great multitude, and it was about 5,000 men. We don't know women and children how many there was, and it was getting later on in the day, and Jesus had his disciples set them down in groups of 50, and he took the bread and the fishes that he had, and he blessed them, and the disciples would come with their baskets and they would take it and give it to this group of 50. And I think we have about 65 chairs here, so it'd be a little bit less here. There was groups like that, but clear up to 5,000. So it took some time. And then after it was all said and done, and on one of the occasions, I think there was 12 basketfuls left over. They didn't even start with that much. And so if you would hear something like that, because food is something that all people seek for. When you get up in the morning, we don't think about it. We think about it, but not like in other countries. When you get up in the morning, what do you think? What am I going to eat? Right away, our bad decisions start. Let's get that cup of coffee going. Bad news. That cup of coffee going. And what goes good with a cup of coffee? A chocolate covered donut. Oh, doesn't that go good with coffee? It is so sweet. Sip that coffee, eat that donut. Just makes your mouth water. You one donut's not enough. You start making the bad decisions. So food is something that we all seek after. They were no different back in the day of Jesus. And so they heard about this man that took these bread and fishes and he blessed it and everybody got to eat. And then I don't know what happened to those 12 basketfuls that was left over. Perhaps, let me use my imagination. This little boy, his mother sent him out that day with those bread and fishes. It was a lunch for a boy. And then he come home at night and he had to hire a caravan of people and a bunch of friends coming behind him. And here they come with 12 basketfuls of bread. And I don't know how many fishes they might have had. What do you think his mother thought? Now, wouldn't she want to go and see a man that was able to take that little lunch that she gave to her boy that morning? In the morning, he comes back at nighttime and he's got 12 basketfuls. Surely you would want to go see this man, but that would be the wrong reason for following Jesus. There was many people in the time of Jesus, in the day of Jesus, that they just followed him for the bread and fishes. They just followed him for the miracles that he could do. And so God is a God of wonders. People followed him for signs and wonders. And today, people will still follow for signs and wonders. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you. You can turn over there if you like in the book of Psalms. People follow for signs and wonders. If you have a miracle ministry and somebody comes through and the gift of miracles is working in their ministry, people will come out of the woodwork to go and hear that man. And they're not going because they're hungry for Jesus. They're going because they want a miracle. They want the things that God can bless them with. Psalms chapter 136, verses 3 and 4. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. It's God that does great wonders.
Yes.
Great wonders. I couldn't make water come out of a rock, but God did miracles for Moses. Water came out of a rock, and they say that you can still go to that place today. And it's like there's no water feeding into this rock, but there's still water coming out of that rock. Amen. God is a God of wonders.
Yes.
But we don't follow God just because he's a God of wonders. That's not the right reason, the right motive for following God. Miracles happen. Amen. Miracles happen in the Bible to confirm the message of these people, of different ones. Miracles happen with Moses to confirm the message that he was preaching.
Right.
Amen. So that he was that anointed leader. People would look at him and God honored him with the miracles that followed. The water come out of the rock. There was manna that come down from heaven. There was a fire by night that would keep them warm by night. And then there was a cloud by day that would keep them cool from the hot sun that was beating down upon them. Those were miracles. And there were many other miracles that happened in the life of Moses. Amen. And those miracles happened to confirm their message. In a scripture reference that we have for that, and you can turn over to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, and also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. It's the signs and wonders and miracles that can cause people to come into the kingdom of God. But we don't follow Jesus just because because he can do signs, wonders, and miracles. That's not a good enough of a reason to follow him. But why do you follow him tonight? What seek ye tonight? What is it that you want from God? And you look at the message of Elijah and Elisha, and God confirmed them as being his men because of the miracles that followed in their lives. And Jesus, his message was confirmed by the miracles that followed in his life. There was something that happened at one time, I believe, in this occasion. It was when the death had happened and he died and there was that earthquake. And what did that centurion soldier, I believe, what did he say? He said, surely this was the Son of God. And that was a miracle, that from about noon until 3 p.m. that it became like nighttime when it wasn't nighttime over there. And the earth shook. And then not only that, it went a little bit deeper. That soldier didn't know it at that time, but it's a good study, and I'm going to spark your curiosity here a little bit. And there were many graves of those who had died earlier before that they were found empty at that time. Amen. At the resurrection of Christ, it was a great thing that happened. Amen. And God was confirming the message that the words that this man Jesus had said, they are my words. They are words of life. They are words of hope. And so today, many people want to experience the miraculous. They want to experience a phenomena, something great. They want to go there. They want to see. I've never seen anything like this. But there was an evangelist, and I don't know if he's still living or not, R.W. Shambach, many years ago, Pentecostal evangelist, had a big gospel tent. He would go around the country and preach. In fact, many years ago, I think back in the late 60s, there was a trip that was made over to the country of Europe, and Pastor Eastman and Pastor Larson, and I think maybe Pastor Miller went on that trip, and it was R.W. Shambach that was that, like the head of that trip, and they went with him over there. Well, that man can tell you of miracles that he seen in his ministry, for lack of better way to express it, but it was God that did it. And he said one of the most notable miracles that he's seen, and we know that this don't happen. I believe it was in the Chicago area. There was a man whose foot was gone, and they prayed for that man, and it was a process of time, but a new foot grew on that man. That does not happen. That is medically impossible. If they remove your foot, if they remove your hand, a finger, an arm, another arm doesn't grow on. But that happened. That's a miraculous miracle. And there are some people that will follow Jesus and decide, hey, I'm going to go this way because of the miracles that he does. What are you seeking for? And we're going to look at a couple of reasons, amen, that people seek the wonders. They seek the signs and the wonders. In Exodus chapter 4, we're not going to read all of that. Amen. We don't have time to do that. But they seek signs and wonders. Why? To confirm that God is true. They seek a sign and wonder. God tells them to do something, and they're not so sure about it. Moses was one of those that had to seek a sign and wonder. And that's in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. So we know what we're talking about. I think I'm just going to turn back there for a second. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and that was the rod of Moses. He threw that rod down and it turned into a serpent. He picked that rod up. There was another time he was still quaggling with God. Is that a word, quaggling? It is now. Okay? He was squabbling with God, and he wasn't so sure. And then all of a sudden, this bush in the desert was on fire, and then there was a voice that spoke out of this bush. Those were more miraculous things that happened. But God gave those signs to Moses because it was a wonder. It was a sign and wonder to confirm that, yes, this is what God wants. We studied it a couple of weeks ago here on a Sunday morning. God gave signs and wonders to Gideon in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 through 22. And that was to confirm his word. So God will give signs and wonders to confirm his word. If God has told you to do something and you're like a little doubtful about it, you're just not sure. I don't know if that's really God. God can cause a sign and wonder to happen to confirm it to you that, yes, this is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants in his life. And the word of God in John, we're over in John already. John chapter 2. And we're going to look at one verse there. John chapter 2 and verse 23 says this. John 2:23. I got to get in two. I'm over in one. John 2:23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles he did. They had a time of day before that, before he did the miracles. Oh, this is just a wine bibber. He's just the son of this carpenter down in Galilee, and he's just a nobody. He's just a nothing. But then when they saw the miracles that he did, it says many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. There are people that will still do that today. Don't seek Jesus. Amen. Decide to follow him because of the miracles that he does. That can bring you into the Lord. The goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. There are people that have had great phenomenal miracles. A sign and a wonder happened to them before they were even a Christian, and it drew their attention to Jesus. But that's not the only reason to be following Jesus, because he's capable of doing anything. God can do anything. What about that song? God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as he always has been. And so his word, he can also bring people to salvation. This has its place. Amen. And there is a time to believe. There is a time to exercise your faith. It has its place to seek signs and wonders. Moses sought signs and wonders. He wanted to be sure. Gideon sought signs and wonders. He wanted to be sure this is what God wanted. That has its time and its place. But then there's a time when you just have to believe God's word, and you have to exercise your faith. If he says go, you're going to go. If he says come, you're going to come. If he says do, you're going to do. You're not going to stop and question him. That's exercising your faith. God's anger burned against Moses when he hesitated to obey. In Exodus chapter 4, going back there again, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14, God's anger burned against Moses when he hesitated to obey. And it says it this way, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I don't want the anger of the Lord to be kindled against me. And I don't think you want the anger of the Lord to be kindled against you. And it was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So Moses was making excuses why he couldn't go and do what God wanted him to do. And so God can do a sign and a wonder. And Moses was making excuses. He goes, I can't go before Pharaoh. I'm a stutterer. I can't get my words out. I'm not good in speech. And God's anger was kindled against him because God told him to do something and he wanted him to exercise his faith and go and do it. God might speak to your heart and wants you to do something and you think I'm not capable. That's good that you recognize that, but you're not capable in and of yourself, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The task might look too great for you. It might not be anything to the magnitude of leading a million people out of captivity that was in the land of Egypt. It might be something a lot smaller, but we can have the same feeling that Moses had. God, do you know who you're really talking to? Do you know who I am? Do you know how I have failed you? How I haven't been faithful to you? And you want me to do this? I just spoke to somebody this week and they were sharing something with me. And they was having a health issue. And they just felt like it was happened to use air inhaler like every hour on the hour, happened to sleep in a chair. And they just got weary. They did it for like a week, I think it was. And we just can't do this anymore. And they decided, it's like something spoke to them. And it says, just stop taking all of your medicine. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And guess what? They stopped taking that inhaler, stopped taking that medicine, and they're breathing better now than they ever breathed before. And they said to me, they said, but why would God do that for me? It's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth men to repentance. And I said to that individual, that's because of the mercy of God. It's because God loves you. And this individual goes, but why me? I said, that's the kind of God that we're serving. Amen. That's a sign and a wonder and a miracle. And that can bring that individual into salvation if they're not already there, realizing the magnitude of God's love. Because somehow we think we need to be good enough for God's love. And we get ourselves into a place where we justify it in our minds. I'm good enough for God now. But one of the prophets straightened us out in that. He says, even when you think you're good enough for God, that righteousness is what it would be. be, that goodness that you have, in the eyes of God, it's like a filthy old rag. It just doesn't cut the mustard. It's not good enough. We will never be good enough for God. And the only reason that we can stand before God and be accepted in His sight is because we have Jesus living on the inside of us. And when God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Christ within you. And that is what makes all of the difference. And so miracles happen. Amen. A miracle will still happen today. And so Moses hesitated to obey God. Amen. It's greater in God's sight. Amen. It's a greater thing in God's sight to believe without miracles. What are you seeking for? What are you looking for? If you can believe God without there being a miracle and a sign and a wonder, Jesus said in His word, that is greater. Amen. John chapter 4. We're really working John over tonight. John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 41 to back up that statement that I just said. John 4, 41. Amen. Get over there. I'm in John 1. I'm in John 14. I'm in John 9. Now I'm over in Luke. I hope I find John 4 pretty soon. John 8, John 8, John 1. There. John 7, I'm finding it, I'm just like you. John chapter 4 and verse 41. And this is what Jesus said to them. Now listen close to this. John 4, 41. And many believe, and many more believe because of His own word. Some people believe just because of the word of Jesus. That's where we fall. Jesus said, I am the great I am. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Amen. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if we believe those words, we are blessed. Amen. We are blessed. And the Samaritans believe because of His words. He just said it. They believed it. Jesus said it. I believe it. Amen. Jesus said it, I believe it. It's His word, He cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and be cast into the sea, if Jesus said it, I believe it, it's good enough for me. You're like the Samaritans. They just believed the words that Jesus said. But there was also a group of people in the same chapter, dropped down to verse 48, and listen to this group of people. Now the Samaritans, many more believed because of His own word in verse 41, but we get down into verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So here's people that just believe because Jesus said it, and then here's a group of people that will only believe if they see signs and wonders. What are you seeking for tonight? What are you looking for tonight? Are you waiting for God to do some sign and wonder, some phenomenal thing in your life, and then you'll decide you're going to follow Jesus? Then you'll be convinced that He's the way, the truth, and the life. You'll be convinced of all the sayings of Jesus. Amen. That's not the way God wants it. Amen. But these people here, these were the Galileans. Amen. Unless they saw signs and wonders, they weren't going to believe. We believe because we hear. Some people want to see signs and wonders. Amen. We're going over to Matthew chapter 12. Amen. Verses 38 and 39. Matthew chapter 12, verses. And why do you follow Jesus? What are you following Jesus for? What convinced you? Some people want to see a sign and wonder because they don't believe what was already done. What's already done, they don't believe it. That's not good enough for me. I need to see a sign and wonder for myself. John chapter 12, and here's people that were like this, verses 38 and 39. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation which seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And so here is a group of people that they have to see a sign and wonder because they don't believe what was already done. There was all kinds of signs and wonders that were already done. They didn't want to accept that. They wanted Him to show them something new, something different. And the Lord rebuked them. Amen. They sought after another sign, and these were the Pharisees. They were wicked because they didn't believe what Christ had already done. Amen. You have to believe in the work that Christ already done. Psalms chapter 78, verse 32. We need to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We don't need to seek another sign. Jesus, if you're really the way, the truth, and the life, this is what I want you to do. And then I'll believe. It doesn't work that way. He wants us to believe his word. Psalm 78, 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings. And that's what Jesus, or excuse me, 78, verse 32. I read the wrong one there. For all this, they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. And that's dealing with the children of Israel. They were being punished because they turned away from God and went in their own ways. There were signs, wonders, and miracles that happened with the children of Israel. Man, I want to be one of the children of Israel. Man, if I could see God part the Red Sea, if I could see God part the Kinzu Reservoir so that we could all walk over on dry ground, then I really know that there's a God in heaven. Then I really know that what's in this word is true. God doesn't want us to put him on the spot like that. But these people here, they were there. They walked across that Red Sea. We'll say across where the Red Sea was. They walked on dry ground. God spared them. God saved them. And even in all that God done, they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. The wondrous works that he did, they still didn't believe. And then on the other side, there's people that say, I will believe if I can see the wondrous works. You see how we're mixed up as a people. Some have to see to believe. And some seeing still don't believe. They want to see something more from God. Where do you fall in this? Some seek for signs and wonders, hoping to get something for themselves. And I already read this in John chapter 6 and verse 26. That's where we started tonight. Amen. Well, not quite there, but real close to that. I already read this scripture. John 6, 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and the fishes. And so some people will seek for signs and wonders, hoping to get something for themselves. What's in it for me? And I alluded to that already tonight. I'm going to go down there and join up with that bunch of believers, because there are people that will go to churches that have numerous social programs within the church that help the people in the congregation and the community. They are going there for that purpose and reason. And at this time, these people were doing that, not because of the miracles that God could do, but because of all the good handouts that they could receive by being around the church folks. That's why they went there. God doesn't want us to do that. They follow Jesus. Amen. They follow Jesus. And if you read this whole story through, he was teaching in Capernaum, and they followed him to the other side, not to know Christ better, not to have a closer relationship with him, but to fill their stomachs up again. Because these were the ones that he had fed. He had fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6, the first few verses there, the first 14 verses. He had fed the 5,000 people, and the fragments that remained, they gathered them up. And so these people, when Jesus left, they followed him. They followed him. They didn't follow him because, wow, this man did a miracle. We're going to eat up every word that he says. We're going to become his disciples. We're going to become his followers. They were simply following him because he filled their stomachs up with food. Amen. You don't follow Jesus for the bread and fishes. And I already said this. There are people that will join themselves up to a church because of the bread and fishes that that church offers them. That's a shallow salvation, if it's any salvation at all. Yes, churches should have programs and things that they do to help their congregants, to help the community that they're living in. That's the will of God. God wants that. Amen. But you don't come in for that purpose and that reason. It's better just to take God at his word. Amen. Jesus said it, I believe it. It's his word, he cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it until I die. It's better just to take God at his word. You know what pleases God? We're going to look in John chapter 20 and verse 29. It's just that simple faith that believes God. Having that faith as a child. Lord, I just believe you. I believe what you're saying. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's good, Thomas. You seen me, you believe. You saw the nail prints, you saw when they thrust the sword in my side, and because you seen that, you believe. That's a good thing, he says. Amen. But he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I have never seen Jesus, but I can stand here and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that there's a God in heaven. I believe that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. I believe that Jesus is sitting there. Amen. I believe that Jesus is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. And I believe that Jesus wants me to cast all my care upon on him because he cares for me. Amen. I believe that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I believe that Jesus is the one that can help me in my hour and in my time of need. Amen. And I believe it's Jesus that's going to be there at the end of my life. Should I go by the way of the grave? It's going to be Jesus that carries me across that Jordan, as we like to say, as we leave this life and go into the next. I believe those things. I believe in God. And Jesus said, we're better off. Amen. We're more blessed than those who have seen and believe. We haven't seen, but yet we believe. Amen. I believe that one day we're going to stand before him. I believe that he's coming back in the clouds of glory. I believe that he's going to catch us away. I believe that he's going to serve us the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe we're going to come back and rule and reign with him. I've never seen Jesus, but yet I believe. Amen. And God said, we're more blessed. Amen. More blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And so the question comes tonight, do you believe? What are you following Jesus for? Amen. And finishing up here tonight, amen, I just want to read you a few things that I jotted down here in my notes. Amen. The reasons that we would follow God. What seek you? What is it that you want Jesus for? Amen. Jesus is the only way to God. That's good enough for me. That's the only way to God. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only source of life. Amen. Jesus is the only source of truth. They said to him one time, Lord, what is truth? And he said, thy word, O Lord, is truth. Amen. Jesus is the only source of truth. Jesus is the only source of true love. True love, amen, that unfringed love, that love that doesn't expect anything in return, that love that loves even when they're not loved, amen, that love that doesn't know any boundaries, he just loves everybody. He is the only source of love. These are reasons to follow him. Amen. Jesus is the only source of joy. He's the only source of peace. Look at all the things that people are seeking for in this world. They're seeking for security. They're seeking for joy. They're seeking for peace. They're seeking and they're seeking in the wrong places. Amen. The reasons to follow Jesus. He said, what seek ye? All of these things on this list that I'm reading to you, these would be reasons to follow Jesus. Amen. The only way to God. He's the only source of life. He's the only source of truth. He's a source of love. He's the only source of joy. He's the only source of peace. In this Jesus, when we come to him, he gives us a new identity. Amen. It's old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a song that was written, I'm not the man that I used to be. And it was a song that was written by someone who gave their heart to God, and they used to be a drunkard, and when they would go home, their little boy, he would run and hide behind the door. But then this man gave his heart to God, and this man had a new identity. He wasn't that drunkard anymore. He wasn't that child abuser anymore. He was a new creation in Christ. Amen. And Jesus is the one that gives us a purpose in life, gives us a reason for living. Why do people commit suicide? Because they have no reason for living. They have no purpose in life. That's a good reason to follow Jesus. Jesus said in that first verse I read tonight, he said to those two disciples, what seek ye? What are you looking for? Amen. If you're looking for purpose in your life, you can find it in Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the only one that can give us eternal life. Amen. Forever to be in the presence of the Lord. And he forgives. He's the only one that can forgive and set us free from sin. You can't free yourselves from sin. You can't free yourselves from bad habits, no matter how hard you try. That's one reason that we should come to Jesus, not because of the blessing, not because of the bread and fishes, not because of the signs and wonders that he's very capable of doing, but because he can take my sins and he can cleanse me and he can make me new. Amen. Jesus is the only one that can truly comfort us in the time of sorrow. The devil can't comfort you in the time of sorrow. Those that don't have God in their life, what do they do at the time of funerals? They have a struggle getting through the funeral. They try to say, stay sober for that. But soon after, when that funeral's over, they're turning to the bottle. They're turning to other things to try to drown their sorrows in that. Jesus gives us comfort in our time of sorrows. That's a reason to follow Jesus. Amen. Jesus, he also is the key to an overcoming life. I don't want to go through life just getting knocked down. Every time I turn, bam, I messed up. I go, bam, I messed up again. Boom, I was hit again. A couple weeks ago, we shared the word here about the fiery darts of the devil. Everywhere I go, a fiery dart's getting me. It's getting me right in the heart. All that hurt. Man, I'm trying to get over that. Then I get struck again. Jesus is the key to an overcoming life. Amen. And Jesus, amen, a reason to follow him. He has prepared an eternal home for each one of you, myself included. That's a reason to follow him. He's going to lead us from this life into the next. He's going to be there at that swelling Jordan when the time of death comes, if you go by way of the grave. He's going to be the one that carries you across. And then Psalms 23 has some real significance to it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Jesus, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do comfort me. Amen. He'll take us into the joys of the Lord. I want to follow Jesus. Sister Bonnie can come down to the music tonight. Amen. We're going to sing that little song. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. And what seek ye from this Jesus? You just seek a good feeling? Do you just seek a good friendship with people of precious, like precious faith? Do you seek recognition in your church? You know, what's in it for me? Am I going to be a music director someday if I can play one of these instruments? If I can become a Sunday school? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? Amen. And I hope it's salvation. And what we need to be seeking for is taking Jesus at his word. Amen. You have to decide that you're going to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. So as we sing this tonight, if you want, you can come and stand around the front. I don't know if I'm going to go lay hands on anybody or not, but make that recommitment to the Lord. God, why am I following you? Am I following you for the benefits that I receive, or am I following you because I'm simply taking you at your word? I can guarantee you none of us in here with our eyes, our natural eyes, have ever seen Jesus. But yet we believe he's there. We know that he can do signs, wonders, and miracles, and he's done some of that in some of your lives. And that makes you want to love him. That makes you appreciate him more. But are you staying in there with Jesus just because of what he can do for you? I have decided to follow Jesus.